And now,
11 hour and I.
Now the lights dim low, soon we'll start the show.
Here comes LF Network.
Got a picture of your house, and you're standing by the door. It's black and white and faded, and it's looking pretty warm. I see the factory that it worked, silhouetted in the back. The memories are gray, but man, they're really coming back. I don't need to be the king of the world, as long as I'm the hero of this little girl. There's a color deep inside, like blue suburban sky. When I come home late at night, and you're in bed asleep, I'll wrap my arms around you so I can feel you breathe. Well, I don't need to be a Superman, as long as you will always be back, and it makes it pretty hard. Like I know where left to go, no one really cares. I don't know what to do, but I'm never giving up on you. Closer to
on the Midwood Files. Good evening. My name is Olive Midwood, and that's about all you're going to get out of me tonight. Name, rank, and serial number. That was Warrant, Heaven, from their Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich LP. I got to warn you, there's going to be, for those of you who are squeamish, I'm going to be playing 80s metal hair music tonight, because I was listening to a radio station in the car on the way home on Thursday, which was the last time I actually left the house. And it's stuck. You know, I think I've explained, I'm that kind of idiot. You know, if you hum a tune around me, I'll pick it up, guaranteed. Or the last thing that I've heard, I've usually do. For whatever reason, there's a little ROM chip or something in my brain that picks it up and it stores it and it regurgitates it. So it's going to be 80s metal hair ballad music tonight, which probably has absolutely nothing to do with the programming. Most likely has absolutely nothing to do with the programming, although I suppose I can't guarantee that either. I have a tummy ache at the moment. I don't feel so good. I had some Hungarian goulash with a lot of paprika in it for dinner. You know, real pork, not any of those American beefaroni variants. And my tummy hurts. And I'm still drinking coffee and my tummy still hurts. This is one of those where I'm trying to think because I got a lot of things going on in my head. I know most of you, to one degree or another, have been aware of the fact that I've had claims in with Social Security going on basically over a decade now, although I stopped being eligible for SSDI many moons ago. I had a claim in last year, and I went to the stage with the with it, where they put you before the judge, judge advocate, whatever it is, and I lost. The dude said no, and I told you that my lawyer was very much in the mindset that the only reason I didn't get it was I got the wrong judge. Well, that's believable enough, don't you think? So I refiled in, I guess it was the summer. It had to be sometime in the early summer, maybe after the 4th of July, maybe sometime after that weekend. And just getting all my stuff together, you know, because it's a process. And they do it differently when you filed recently. So because this would have been, I filed and then I didn't get it. And then I filed again like 5 months later or something, 6 months later. So it's apparently it was a different process. So I was like, all right. So some stuff they needed, some stuff they didn't need. They already had a lot of information from the last claim. I had to do the thing over the phone rather than online, which was really annoying. The gentleman who took my information on the phone was like, well, why didn't you just see the claim through? Because you would have had another level of appeal. And I think I had explained to most of you to most of my listening audience, that level of appeal meant that there's like some central office somewhere in like the in the South, somewhere in the South, one of the Carolinas or something or another. And everybody who appeals their decision, once they've gone to a judge, that's where it goes from all over the country. So I was advised that don't even bother because it's ridiculous with the number of cases that they get. 99.9% of the time, they just agree with the judge and your case is closed and that's it. And then you have to start a new case. So what I did was I skipped that process. I waited and I started a new case. So I got all my stuff together and I've been talking to my lawyer a little bit here and there. And I got the same lawyer. I have a different... what do they call them? They're lawyers too, I guess. I don't want to disparage them by saying that they're something less than a lawyer, but they're lawyers too. And so I got another one and she's been really nice and reminding me when I need to put stuff in, and they get CC'd on everything because they're my legal representation right from the beginning. I guess this was a little confusing too to Social Security because I had a lawyer right from the get-go because I had them, even before I got denied, I had them as my lawyer. Usually you have to wait to be denied before you have a lawyer for whatever reason. So, which kind of makes sense because this is only like the one, two, three, this might be the fourth time I'm filing in 15 years or 12 years, something like that. 15 years sounds right, actually. So I remember right before Thanksgiving, my lawyer calls me and said, they're only waiting for like one or two pieces of information that you have to fill out and give to them. And then they'll start, you know, their initial determination, you know, their initial investigation of the claim. So I was like, all right. So I think it was, goulash. I think it was like, like maybe a week before Thanksgiving or a couple, maybe even a couple of days. I got it in the mail. I finished it. I got it in. Everything's always self-addressed with these people, which is really nice. So, and it's already, you just got to find a mailbox somewhere and drop it in. So I did that. So, and then I hadn't heard anything for a while, which was like pretty normal because it goes to the first stage. And then what normally happens is in the first stage, they decline. They come to a non-favorable opinion, right? And then you appeal. And that appeal is what puts you before the judge, where you physically go before the judge. So I was expecting this to happen. So I hadn't heard anything in a while. And my lawyer called me like 10 days ago or something. I don't know. Shortly before the new year began. And I was like, you know what? I got to call her back. But I'm sure there's really nothing. I think she even said it was just like, I'm just checking in, you know, touching base and give me a call when you get the chance kind of deal. So I had kind of procrastinated because I figured, you know, nothing's going to happen until they send me the thing saying that you have not, we have not, no favorable judgment. Bad, you know. So I was like, all right. So I was like, I'm prepared for it. Everybody knows. I mean, if you're going to set your moral compass, or maybe not your moral compass, but if you're going to set your, you know, your enthusiasm level as to whether you initially get, you know, a judgment from Social Security, you know, you're crazy. It's insane. It doesn't happen like that. Even people who have gotten it, it takes them 6 or 7 times and they never get it. They always go before the judge and it winds up being the judge that winds up seeing the case, you know, favorable for them. So I was like, okay, I'm just waiting. And I figured I got to call her and, you know, and I kind of knew. And, you know, there's a lot banking on this stuff because, It's as I've discussed rather in-depthly or ad nauseum, if you will, pardon the pun, it's not even so much the minimal amount of a cash benefit, which of course would be helpful paying for, you know, marbles and bubblegum and whatnot. It's more locking down my meds and getting the Medicaid locked down, if not permanently, at least for as long as I'm on disability, which is really an important thing because I could pretty much move to any state in the union and I would have medical coverage, which is important to me, obviously, at this point, considering I'm eyeballing the great state of Texas again. And it would also allow me to keep my health insurance regardless of whether the ACA gets overturned. And I, you know what it is with the ACA? It's the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, for those of you who are not following, paying attention. Give yourself a smack in the head for that one. I don't think there's going to be one grand moment where it's like, poof, gone. I think it's going to be a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And I think they're going to slowly erode it away. And I think eventually, the money that was guaranteed to the states by the feds for those who signed on for it, Texas wasn't one of those states. I think slowly but surely it's just going to disappear and not be there. And then eventually they're going to what they call a block grant it. And what a block grant generally is a block grant is they look at how many people are using the service at that particular point in time and they figure out a budget for it. And then they give it that same budget year after year after year, regardless of how many more people use that service. So do you understand what's going on there? So eventually it spirals into death. So I think that's what's going to happen eventually. And remember, my diagnosis, or the back is not, that's degenerative disc. That's not going to get any better. That's only going to get worse and worse. And the other thing, the bipolar is, I don't know. I used to be a lot better than I am now, but I'm not now. So for whatever reason, have I hit the rock bottom or is there another room? Like I said, I don't even really know. Couldn't tell you. But I know I had a lot riding on this. So what happened is I went to counseling on Thursday and I was listening to the 80s station, which is why I got all this hair metal 80s music stuck in my brain. And so I got home and there's a letter on the table from Social Security. So it's like, you know what? I've gotten so many letters from Social Security that I'm just like, meh. But I figured it was the doorway to the next step. It was them denying me and it was the paperwork was going to be in there for me to appeal them. Now I didn't have to do anything because my lawyer would have gotten the same copy. They're CC'd everything I get. Right. So, but I put my hand on this envelope and it's really thin, you know, like super, super thin. So I'm like, Well, that's a little peculiar. You know, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's not what I think it is. You know, and so I'm like, oh, all right. So I open the letter, and the letter says, you have recently had a favorable outcome in your claim. We would appreciate it if you came down to the Social Security office within 30 days and talked to us about all the non-medical aspects of your claim so that we can determine how much your benefit is. Right. I let that go for a little bit there so you could let that sink in, because that's exactly how it hit me. So I was like, what? So I read it again. And then I walked over to the producer and I handed her the letter, and she read it and she looked at me, and then she read it again, and then she started talking about Jesus and miracles and whatnot. And then I walked over to my aunt, who was downstairs as well, and I said, read this. And she read it, and she looked at me, and she read it again. And then I asked the question, now that everybody has read it, I said, does it appear that I have won my case? And they both went yes. So, being caught quite off guard, considering I had really no idea that it was going to happen at this level. I presumed I was going to have to go before a judge again and argue my case before a judge. I don't know what the precedent is for it. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe somebody actually read what was in there rather than just rubber stamping it for a change. Because it's 4 years worth of serious documentation by, you know, at least half a dozen different doctors. That's just on the psych side. That's it. I was awarded. I have it. I have been awarded SSI, not SSDI, but SSI, which is pretty much what I expected. So I'm going to go down there. They're not open Monday because Monday is Martin Luther. No, Monday is not Martin Luther King Day. Monday I have a doctor's appointment. So you go figure. So I'll have to go down there on Tuesday. I guess I'll go down there early in the morning on Tuesday and ask to speak to the person. I'm so skeptical, and I'm such a pessimist that I'm even assuming that maybe there's some sort of mistake at this point. But it would look to be that, you know, which is great because it locks down my medical and takes a lot of stress off of my future in regards because there's a lot of stress attached to not knowing whether your health insurance is going to be pulled out from underneath you. And then there's the idea of, well, you know, I think I had mentioned I was talking about possibly going to Texas unmedicated, which probably wouldn't be a good idea. They have experience. The producer's family has experience with people who are apparently off their rocker. And nobody thinks that would be a good idea. So that being said, it was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, barrier to being able to move. Now I'm in a bit of a quandary from the standpoint of that. You know, I guess it's like a case of careful what you wish for, because all this time I'm making this argument to the government, and they're telling me, you know, you're just not sick enough. Apparently they're not saying that I'm not sick. They're just saying that I'm not sick enough. So it was like all this time I'm looking for some sort of validation. And after, you know, at least on the psych, like I said, I've only filed with the bipolar for the last 4 years. So, 3 years, even 3.5. Right before I went live, right before I came back in, I guess, 06, I guess still, October 06. They're saying, yeah, you're apparently, you are messed up enough in the head to qualify for this, you know? Like, it's an unrealistic expectation for me to go back out into the real world and talk to people and go back in the QB world and deal with anybody other than my immediate people around me and occasional cash register person. I've been saying that forever, and now that it's true, I kind of resent it. Isn't that weird? This is the thing that's kind of the fog that has rolled out over the last 24 to 36 hours, where there's been this, wait a second. So you're saying I really am mentally ill? Is that what you're saying? It's like, I can say that, but you can't say that. Yeah, you know, it's like, the federal government is, I wonder if they're going to give me like a little card or something. My health insurance is changing from one thing to another thing. I know that. Whatever their version of Medicaid is. And it's actually, I paid into the system, so I say this all the time to make myself feel somewhat, but I've paid into the system, so I don't feel like somewhat, you know, horribly terrible about it. As a matter of fact, possibly getting the claim approved just kind of validates that, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think, interesting, I was reading, I don't think the benefit is taxable, because it's so little money, literally. And, It's need-based. Like, all of a sudden, if I got a job, or if I came into some sort of inheritance, which is never going to happen in my family, not for nothing, they take it with them, I would have to notify, and then, you know, they would stop giving me, it's what's called need-based, because, like I said, my support for the last X number of years, I guess since 2003, has been pretty much the producer. And what happens in this room when I'm not here during most of the week. So I'm kind of like, I have like a cacophony of feelings about this whole thing. I guess the biggest slice of the pie is that they better not have made a mistake. It actually has my name on it. The damn letter has my name on it. It does. It doesn't just like mail to me, but it says Mr. insert name there, you know? And I just don't feel well. My stomach is really bothering me, and it's like 9,000 degrees in the studio. I think it was like, what, 60, almost 70 degrees in some places, and it's the middle of February. This is the kind of weather where people get sick and die. I would just like to point that out. So wherever you are, try and regulate your temperature as best you can. Took the air conditioner in the bedroom out, so now there's nothing in there but uncomfortableness. I actually have the air conditioner in the studio on as we speak. Matter of fact, let me see if I can. Move those vents so they're blowing on me. Yeah, okay. That'll help a little bit. Jesus, they were blowing back. So I don't like weather like this. This is like tweener weather. This is like Jan weather. Marsha. So that's what's going on in my little world. I guess the cross section of that is like what, like I said, the music coming home. And I don't know really. I'm not really sure how I feel. I think, because I did a lot of reading up on what was required, and I think even being medicated, and if you've had any, and I don't even know, this is the thing, I don't even know if they spoke, remember, all my doctors changed, remember, I think I mentioned that, because I talk about this stuff all the time, I mean, it's an ongoing thing with me, all my doctors changed, so I don't even know what they did, I don't know who they talked to, or that's what makes me a little like, out of nowhere, because usually what my doctors will do is they'll give me the courtesy of saying, oh, I got a request from Social Security for records. It's normally what they do, and I didn't get those, so I'll have to make inquiries, as Don Coglione would say, and find out. I got two appointments this week with different people, but I'll be able to make inquiries. They're new people, so I'll be able to make inquiries if there was anything that came through their office or whatever. It's just, it's surprising to get it, but it was surprising to get it in that way, at that stage. Utterly and totally surprised. I was literally fabulous. I'm still not even really 100%. Like, I really am, you know, because I'm like a New Yorker, you know, I'm like, yeah, okay. So we don't believe it until it's not, we see it, we stick a pin in it to make sure it's dead, and then we bury it and put it in the box. We're like that. We are. We're not what you would call optimists in that regard. I called my lawyer, right? And I left her a message. Because it didn't, I examined this letter very carefully. I examined it as if it were sent from a terrorist and might have had sarin gas in it or something. I took the letter apart. I opened the envelope. I looked for fingerprints. I had one of those little brushes. I did the whole routine. I examined it. I looked it under a microscope. I was looking for watermarks, all sorts of stuff, you know. And I didn't find anything. I didn't find it. But I also didn't find CC to my lawyer. So I was like, this is the first piece of correspondence I've gotten from Social Security that wasn't CC to my lawyer. which is really kind of interesting. Now, I signed an agreement with my lawyer that my lawyer would get 25% of whatever was retroactive, because I believe the claim is retroactive for the maximum of a year. Meaning, if I file and it takes a year for the claim to go through, and I win the claim after a year or a year or more, the government owes me a back retro claim file, whatever you want to call it, of 12 months. In my case, oh man, my nose. I really honestly don't feel, I don't even know how long I'm going to be here. I say it all the time, but I have not been feeling well as of late, and it's true. So I just never really got over this whopping cold, and now the weather changed again. And I was on the porch yesterday waiting for a package for like 3 hours in my pajamas, basically, because I'm an idiot. And I haven't slept very well the last couple few days, and nobody really cares. But my claim was 6 months, so I owe my lawyer 25% of 6 months, which I guess is a month and a half worth of back whatever they call it. So, and I know I signed that, and that happens up front. That's not something that I get and give to them. That's something that my lawyer gets right off the top. The government gives it to my lawyer. That's like how the agreement works. So I am going to be very curious to speak to my lawyer probably on Monday. Someone told me that Monday is Martin Luther King Day, but that's not until the 21st, apparently, because the person who told me is basically an idiot. We'll just leave it at that. So I'll keep you posted in regards to whether it's legit or not. But it would appear to be, by all observations, it would appear to be legit. So interesting. Unless somebody, you know, I got like somebody just decided. But you know what? The letterhead looks right. Everything looks right. The envelope looks right. It was mailed from the right place. The return address is right. I mean, I looked at this thing. You understand what I'm saying? I eyeballed it. I fucked it. I did. There's nothing. There's nothing. It looks normal. It looks normal. So I had, you know, I notified people personally that, you know, within a couple of few hours, you know, the people that I thought mattered most. We'll have to see. I actually, believe it or not, I've spoken to JL like three times and I forgot to mention it to him entirely, which is really funny. So anyway, either that or I did and I forgot that I did, and he just didn't respond, which is entirely possible. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to look into that. But that's it, man. That's all I got this week for personal news, anyway. For personal news. I wish my tummy is now, it's throbbing. Boom, 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 like that. Boom, boom. Can't hear it. It's got its own pulse. That's how angry my stomach is right now, is it has its own pulse. So that being the case, I'm going to go to, I got one set. I always have one set. And to further notice, there'll only be one set. The beatings shall continue until morale improves. So that being said, let me play my one set and see if I can get my tummy to feel a little bit better. And I do have a little bit of news, non-Midwood-centric, that I would like to talk about. And then I'm going to get out of here. So I think I might be able to give you a solid hour. I really think I might be giving you a solid hour, considering, like I said, I just don't feel well. I'm sweating and I don't like it. All right, so that being said, let me see. Let me hit this, and we'll start our music. All right, let me hit the other one. There it is.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Though we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried. But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn, just Just like every cowboy sings the same, sad song. Every rose has its thorn. Playing on the radio, where the DJ said it was a game of easy come and easy go. But I wonder, does he know, has it ever been like this? And I know that you would be here right now if I could let you know somehow. I guess every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn. Though it's been a while now, I can still feel so much pain. But the sky, that sky remains. Saved a love that night if I'd known what to say. Instead of making love, we both made our separate ways. And now I here found somebody new, and that I never meant that much to you. To hear that tears me up inside, and to see you cuts me like a knife. I guess every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
Oh,
washed away a dream of you, but nothing else could ever take you away.
Thank you.
Yeah. In retrospect, I might have gone for something a little less depressing now that I think about it. Man, I just totally took myself out of the game. All right, so that was House of Pain, Fast a Pussycat. I think that was 89. And I remember you, Skid Row, from their debut album. You know, not a very big Skid Row fan, but that song in particular always just cut me to the bone. I guess it makes a lot more sense if you've actually saw the video, quote unquote video, the promotional film that was actually put out with the song. Yeah, it'll kill you. Anyway, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, Poison, from Open Up and Say Ah. My ex-wife hates that song, so whenever I hear it, I get a little cheery. It has the reverse effect on me. speaking of my ex-wife, the drummer from Rush died. Also some real good news. She was a big Rush fan. Could never get it. I never got it. I know I'm a pretty bright guy. I like to think that I'm wearing the 10-gallon hat as far as the smarts goes, you know. I just never got Rush. It's like word salad. It's like ELP. It's like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, which is fine if you're into that stuff, you know. As long as Pink Floyd's around, I know. Well, that sound effect music, Midwood. But anyway. I never, you know, maybe if there weren't a Pink Floyd, maybe if Pink Floyd never existed, then I would have understood the whole Rush thing. But Pink Floyd did exist. So I'm back to, like, why? Anyway, really sad set. I'm really sad now. I don't even know if I want to do any news. I'm really bummed. Let me see if there's, like, anything that I can just grab, like, immediately. Because it's going to be, like, an hour show, and then I'm out of here. And that's 15 minutes. I don't want to talk about myself for 15 minutes because I'm already tired of talking about myself. I don't feel well. I'm sweating bullets here. And my tummy is bothering me. Last time I felt this bad, I wound up in the hospital. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to wind up in the hospital. I don't want to alarm any of you. Because I know how concerned that my vast listening audience is in regards to my my physical and mental well-being. Let's see. I'm going to lift the glasses up right off my head. Iran hit with magnitude 4.9 earthquake near nuclear power plant. Oh, this was about an hour ago. Oh, let's see what this is. Maybe it's the Israelis. Damn it. Let me see. Early Wednesday. Oh, this was dated Wednesday. Okay, so this was a couple of days ago. Interesting. Why is this so old then? Tuesday stampede, blah blah blah. Okay, yeah, nothing new there. Nothing we can blame on anybody. Let's see, what do we got here? U.S. to expel over a dozen Saudi trainees after review of naval air station in Pensacola shooting. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Oh, I gotta read this one because this is just too funny. For the person that has everything, Gwyneth Paltrow is peddling a $75 candle that smells like her vagina. I kid you not. Let's see. According to the Goop website, the candle started as a joke between Paltrow and professional perfumer Douglas Little and has notes of geranium, citrusy, bergamot, and cedar. Yeah, cedar, I bet. The website says the candle is perfect for putting a fantasy seduction and a sophisticated warmth into an atmosphere. Known for its vagina-themed antics like vaginal jade egg doctors strongly recommend against it. The company that has received criticism in the past for making false health claims about its products and spreading general medical misinformation. In fact, Twitter users were outraged earlier this week when Netflix announced the company and Paltrow would be producing an upcoming holistic wellness series called The Goop Lab, which will premiere January 24th. Alrighty then. So, just in case you do have, I'm sure it's limited edition, but just in case you do have everything, you might want to ask for that for a late Christmas present, I suppose. Let's see. This is fury on the streets of Tehran after military admits shooting down plane. You know, I promised a friend of mine that I would go easy on the Iranians. So I'm just going to I'm not going to talk about the outright lying and misinformation that they engaged in regards to taking that plane down. I'm not going to mention that at all. Let's see. Where is it? This is out of the Daily Mail. Wow. I'm actually sore, too. So, like, my neck and shoulders. So, I may still, my flu may be raging for all I know. I may actually have the flu. Protesters in Tehran clash with riot police as they demand the Ayatollah resigns. I don't know. Can they do that? It's like the Pope. They could do that. And call for regime change after Iran finally admits to shooting down jet and killing 176 people. Protests broke out at four universities in Tehran on Saturday after military admitted fatal blunder. Excuse me. Angry crowds demanded the Ayatollah's resignation and full investigation into the disaster. Regime forces cracked down hard on the demonstrators, firing tear gas into the crowd. Iranian defenses shot down civilian plane carrying 160, most of them Iranian citizens. Whoopsie. The country was on high alert after targeting U.S. forces with ballistic missiles in a bloodless strike. Well, not so much. Iranians have gathered in the streets of Tehran to demand the resignation of the Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei after the regime admitted it mistakenly shot down a civilian passenger plane. Angry crowds gathered Saturday and tonight in at least four locations in Tehran, chanting death to the liars and calling for the country's supreme leader, to step down over the tragic military blunder video from the scene shows. What began as mournful vigils, for Iranian lives lost on the plane soon turned to outrage and protests against the regime. And the riot police quickly cracked down, firing tear gas into the crowd. Death to the Islamic Republic, protesters chanted. The regime security forces allegedly used ambulances to sneak heavily armed paramilitary police into the middle of the crowd to disperse the demonstration. Ukrainian Airlines Flight 752, carrying 176 people, at least 130 of them Iranian citizens, was shot down by the hapless Iranian Revolutionary Guard Air Defense Forces shortly after taking off from Tehran on January 8th. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, this is another case of, I hope that the Iranian people will seize upon this opportunity and galvanize in regards to resisting and possibly overthrowing by peaceful manner or otherwise the regime that currently runs the show over there in Iran, because I'm sure the Iranian people themselves are, for the most part, are not evil. Not evil. All right. That was an assumption on my part. What else do we have here? What time is it? Okay, 9 minutes. What can I do for 9 minutes? I can hum for 9 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that. Let's see. Greta's upset. Yeah, okay. Texas has already taken in millions of refugees from California and New York. Oh, yeah, this was out of the AP. I thought this was interesting. Texas governor to reject new refugees first under Trump. Okay, so Governor Abbott, who's the governor of the great state of Texas, is he won't be taking in any more refugees from any foreign lands. Oops, bumped into the mic again. Texas will no longer accept the resettlement of new refugees, becoming the first state known to do so under a recent Trump administration order, Governor Greg Abbott said Friday. Abbott's announcement could have implications for refugees coming to the United States. Texas has large refugee populations in several of its cities and has long been a leader in settling refugees, taking in more than any other state during the 2018 governmental fiscal year, according to the United Nations Commissioner for Refugees. United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, as opposed to the guy who was just slightly buzzed. Since the 2002 fiscal year, Texas has resettled an estimated 83,300 refugees, second only to California, according to the Pew Research Center. In a letter released Friday, Abbott wrote that Texas has been left by Congress to deal with disproportionate migration issues resulting from a broken federal immigration system. He added that Texas has done more than its share. Awesome. Abbott argued that the state and nonprofit organizations should instead focus on those who are already here, including religious, including refugees, migrants, and the homeless. Indeed, all Texans. It wasn't clear how Abbott's letter might affect any currently pending refugee cases. Interesting. Refugee groups already sharply criticized the Republican governor, Ali Al-Sudani, chief programs officer of the Interfaith Ministries for Greater Houston, predicted that some refugees with longstanding plans to come to Texas would have flights rescheduled or delayed. Ali Saldani settled in Houston from Iraq in 2009 and works to resettle other refugees. You can imagine the message that this decision will send to them all and their families, said Ali Saldani. It's very disappointing and very sad news, and honestly, this is not the Texas that I know. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins said that he had met refugees in Dallas who had previously served as interpreters or aides for U.S. soldiers. We have people who are fleeing violence, people who are assisting us in the war on terror, who are having the door slammed in their faces, said Jenkins, a Democrat, who is the county's chief administration official. President Trump announced in September that resettlement agencies must get written consent from state and local authorities in any jurisdiction where they want to help resettle refugees beyond June 2020. Trump has already slashed the number of refugees allowed into the country for the 2020 fiscal year to a historic low of 18,000. About 30,000 refugees were resettled in the United States during the previous fiscal year. Wow. Governors in 42 states have said they will consent to allowing more refugees, according to the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, which works with local agencies throughout the U.S. to resettle refugees. The governors who haven't chimed in are all Republican and are from Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Wyoming. Fierce debates have occurred in several parts of the country, including North Dakota and Tennessee, over whether to opt into refugee resettlement under the executive order. Many Republican governors have been caught between immigration hardliners and some Christian evangelicals who believe helping refugees is a moral obligation. LIRS is also part of the lawsuit challenging the order. A federal judge on Wednesday heard arguments on a request by resettlement agencies to prevent the Trump administration from enforcing it. Oh, that's interesting. Well, hopefully it'll stand. Let the rest of the world deal with it. Not for nothing. Europe, go to Europe. I don't even care if you're from Mexico. Go to Europe. Start sending all these South Americans to Europe or Canada. Canada. Blame Canada. No, I don't think that. I don't think Canada. Well, Canada's actually, Canada seems to be pretty multiracial. And it's, you know, multi-ethnic. And it's, when I look at those basketball games, because it's the only time I really see what's going on in Canada. When I look into those stands, I see a lot of, you know, so if they're all keen on that, then let them do that. United States has done more than its fair share. In particular, places like Texas have done more than their fair share, as Governor Abbott has said. So you do not have a God-given right to come to the United States. You don't. That's between you and your God. Climate experts claim on California wildfires. Not interested in that. I want to read this next week because this is actually an interesting story. And it deserves more attention than I'm willing to give it. Many Canadians are giddy at the prospect that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle could be moving to Canada, injecting some razzle-dazzle into the spawning, bone-chilling, cold country. Razzle-dazzle. Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're retiring, too. I don't know what's going on. It doesn't really bother me. I, the English monarchy, excuse me. Oh, God, I feel so. I don't feel loved. I don't even want to go on about the English monarchy. I will say they look like, you know how Siamese cats are so like ingrown, you know, inbred that they start to look dinged up? Well, every now and then they get themselves like some new breeding material in order to keep the teeth on the inside of the mouth. Anyway, let's see. I guess Puerto Rico. Oh, this was good also in Austin. Check this out. Austin to consider stopping arrests, tickets, and low-level marijuana cases after hemp law. Four progressive members of the city council are pushing to push the proposal, which needs two more votes to pass. Check this out. A Texas law enforcement grapples with how to determine whether a substance is marijuana after lawmakers legalized hemp last year. One city's officials are putting forward their own solution, effectively decriminalize possession of small amounts of pot altogether. The Austin City Council will vote on the proposal later this month that, if approved, would virtually end arrests and fines by city police for possession of personal amounts of cannabis, according to a summary, and a copy of the measure to be obtained by the Texas Tribune. The resolution raised by four, aren't they all progressive? And, well, anyway, that's what I've heard. The resolution raised by four progressive members of the 11-member council would largely direct police to stop arresting people or issuing citations in low-level marijuana possession cases, in which officers won't be able to get lab reports to chemically distinguish between now legal hemp and illegal marijuana. It would also forbid the city from spending funds or using its personnel to perform such tests. If there is no intent to sell or distribute, we're not going to mess with it, said Greg Cesar, the leader of the proposal. That's fascinating. Yeah, this happened on Texas, and it, from my understanding, because I've read several stories about this, is that this was explained that they were going to have problems like this to the Texas state legislature, and the Texas state legislature, the great state of Texas, I might add, my thing for the night, they were fully informed that there was going to be this kind of problems if they legalize hemp, because now you got to test it to see if it's marijuana or to see if it's hemp or to see if it's some other substance. And what's gone on is that the testing facilities, the criminal labs and whatnot, you know, where they do this sort of stuff, they've all been overwhelmed. So now they're not even testing stuff. So they're just letting people basically walk away. So they basically decriminalized. The state of Texas has decriminalized small amounts of marijuana. So it's not just Austin. What you're seeing occur in Austin, or most likely going to see occur in Austin, is occurring all over Texas. So that's at least one step forward for the great state of Texas. That being said, I think I'm going to get out of here. It's been an hour on Beezer, and I don't feel well. I'm going to go lie down. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go lie down. I thank you all for imbibing, however you did that. And is it my website up? Yeah, okay. So you can go over to the website, lfmidwood.com. It gets you to the Midwood files. There's archives and links. I got to clean up that link there. I got to get rid of 8chan and put 8kun on there. 8kun. I keep doing that. 8kun. On there. There's my social media. There's links to John Lightning's site. That would be the 11 RNI link. You go all the way over to the right. There's links to Brad Reed's audio stream, Grits Radio. You can email me, lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com, lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. You can use the contact page if you're shy about giving me your email address, although you need to leave an email address in order for that to work anyway, so go figure. Anyway, I thank you all. Hopefully I'll be back. I'll be back next week. Not hopefully. I'll be back next week. Hopefully I'll be feeling better prior to doing so. And hopefully I'll have a little bit more information on the legitimacy of my recent encounter with Social Security being a positive one. Hopefully I'll have some sort of info on that. With some sort of like certificate or something, or a letter or a card or something, you know what I mean? Some sort of, yeah, it's real. It really happened. It really happened. Anyway, one more song, not so sad, but still in the hair metal 80s, earlier 80s, I think, if I recall correctly. I should have given out the years on the other stuff. That doesn't really matter. Anyway, see y'all next week. Too much, you're the only one.
been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.